North Hens and Kolel, Shir, given on Tehillim chapter 15, given by Gershon Hepner on Sunday, 30th of August 2009, Yud Elul Tovshim Samach Tes. I'd like to give the Shir the Ilu Nishmat, my grandfather, Zichronei Brachah, who's the outside here tonight. His name is Reb Dov Ben Rebbe Yisrael Yehuda Halevi, my father's father. So, Tehillim chapter 15, let's start as we always do by simply going through the entire chapter. It's a very short chapter, it's only got five pesukim in, and hopefully we'll get past the introduction today. But it's a big chapter. A big chapter with a lot to learn on it. Tehillim chapter Teslov. The Tehillim at the back. Look for the Tehillim at the back of the Tehillim. Okay. Mitzvah to David, a song to David. Hashem, God. David is talking to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Mi yogur ba'ahalecha, who will live in your ohel? Mi yishkon, who will dwell or who will live ba'hakachecha in your holy temple? Holech tomim, and now comes the answer. Who is the person who is zoche to live in HaKadosh Baruch Hu's holy temple? Who is it? He's the person who is holich tom, and he goes in perfection, or foel tzedek, and he does righteousness, v'dover emes bilvavo, and he speaks truth in his heart. Lo roga la lashono, he does not, let's keep it simple at the moment, he does not speak lashon hara, he doesn't speak evil with his tongue. Lo os solere ehu ra'a, he doesn't do evil to his friend, or to his fellow human. V'charpa, and shame, lo nosa al grevo, he doesn't heap upon his relative. And we'll see what all these expressions mean. Nivze, the person who is despised, the enov nimos, is despised or disgusted or reviled, is reviled in his eyes. The esire Hashem yichabed, and those who fear Hashem, he will honor. Nishba lahara, he makes the shavuah lahara to do evil, and we'll see what that means. V'lo yomir, and he doesn't go back on it. Kaspe lo nosa meneshech, he does not give his money on interest. V'shochad al noki lo lokoch, and he does not take a bribe for an innocent person. Osei eile, the one who does these things, lo yomit lo olam, will never slip. What we have in this chapter is David HaMelech's 11-point plan to how to become a tzaddik. It's like a how-to, you know. It's like one of these success books, you know, how to succeed in tzidkus in 11 easy stages. That's really what it is. And I think what we'll do is we'll start with the way the Gemara explains the chapter. All this is just going to be a hakdama for the moment. We'll start with the way the Gemara defines the whole chapter, and it's a remarkable Gemara. It's on Makkos Daf Kaf Dalad Omid Aleph, and it's remarkable because the Gemara quotes the entire chapter in one block. Amazing. Normally you get a fragment of a pasuk or maybe a whole pasuk quoted. Yeah, here you've got all five pasuk, the entire chapter is there on the page of the Gemara in one shot. And what the Gemara does is, by way of introduction to the Gemara, explains that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given us 613 mitzvahs in the Torah, and at various stages in history, Nevi'im came along and summarized the Torah in their own way. And the very final one is Habakkuk, Bo Habakkuk v'hemidon al achas. Habakkuk came along and summarized the whole Torah, all 630 mitzvahs, in one shot. And how did he do that? With three words: the tzaddik ve'emunoso yichye, and the tzaddik shall live through his righteousness. And the Gemara says that was Habakkuk's summary of the whole Torah. Well, before we get to Habakkuk's stage of limiting it all, boiling the Torah down to those three words, to one point of three words, we have David HaMelech. And David HaMelech came along and he summarized the whole Torah using these 11 points. The Gemara explains, or rather, I should say Rashi, actually it's Gemara and the Rashi explain, that the idea is that over the course of history, we've slipped in Madrigo, and people find it harder and harder and harder to keep all 613 mitzvahs. So just to facilitate it, we're going to be... Pardon? I'm so pleased you said that, because...
Because we're not going to be married to Torah, we're no Kohanim, we're not all Kohanim.
Precisely. At that point, I wish I could remember who said that. That is brought by the Marshal. The Marshal said exactly that. That besides not no one person being able to keep all 613 mitzvahs, some are only for Kohanim, some are only for Levim, some are only for Yisraelim, some are only for women, some are only in Eretz Yisrael, some are only in times of the Beis Hamikdash. So it's impossible. So in order to make the Torah easy to keep, especially in Golus, and for people to cope with what there is in the Torah, so David HaMelech came along and he brought these 11 points. Let's go through the Gemara. It's in Makkos, Kaftal Adam Adalas. David came along and summarized the Torah in 11 points. Tichsuv, as it says, Mizra, and here we go, his whole chapter. Mizra le David, Hashem yagub alecha, mi yishkem ha-koshecha, hilich tamim ufer, tzedek, v'tev, emes, v'vav, l'roka, l'alashen, l'rosa, l'ayhi, ra'o, v'chepa, l'nasa, akreza, mizra, b'ein, av, nimas, v'esir, yashim, v'chabiz, nishva, l'horav, l'yomir, kasper, l'nasa, v'neshech, v'shuch, adam, noki, l'lokach, ose, ele, le'imit, l'yolom. There you go. I read that all that from the Gemara, not from the Pesukim. Yeah, amazing. Gemara's quoted the whole thing, and then the Gemara defines it. Then the Gemara's going to go through each of these Pesukim one by one. There are 11 points. Let's go through the 11 points using the Gemara, using the Pesukim again. Who can dwell in your tent? Who can dwell on your holy mountain? Number one, Holech Tomim, the one who goes in perfection. Number two, Ofel Tzedek, the one who works with righteousness. Number three, V'dovah Emes B'vavah, speaks truth in his heart. Number four, Lerogah La'Lashonu, he doesn't tell L'Hashon around. Number five, Lo'asel Re'ira'ah, he doesn't do any evil to his friend. Number six, V'chepol Nosah Al-Grev, he doesn't heap shame on his relative or anyone who's close to him. Number seven, Nivzeh, the one who is despised, but Inov Nimos is reviled in his eyes. Number eight, Ve'siri Hashem Mechabit, he honors those who fear God. Number nine, Nishma Lora, Ve'lo Yomir, he swears to do evil, and he doesn't go back on it. And I'll quickly add in, what's this idea? Tzadik swears to do evil, sounds very odd, and what it means is, he swears to do evil to himself, to improve his madriga. And what does that mean? He undertakes things which will ultimately harm himself, but he does it in order to climb in madriga. He'll undertake to give tzedakah, that'll reduce his bank balance. He'll undertake a tannis, and that'll reduce his energy. So he takes on hardships, and once he's taken such a shiur, he won't go back on it. Are we up to number 9? Are we up to number 10? Can't remember now. Kasper lo nosan, I've had that actually. Kasper lo nosan, we're up to number 10. Kasper lo nosan, beneshech, he does not give out his money by charging interest. Number 11, final one, v'shechad al noki lo lokoch, nor does he take a bribe, even to judge an innocent person. And now the summary of all of this is, Oseele, whoever can keep these things, lay your medlin and will never slip. So here we have 11 points to Tidkus. This is David HaMelech's idea on how to become a tzaddik in 11 difficult stages. The Gemara is going to define each one of these as being lifnim mishur sadin. What is David adding to what the Torah has already told us? The Torah has already told us don't charge interest. The Torah has already told us don't take bribes. The Torah has already told us don't speak Lashon Hara and don't do evil to other people. So what on earth is David adding to what the Torah has already told us? And the Gemara explains that each one of these points actually has an element of lifnim mishur hadin, going above and beyond the letter of the law. And we'll see as we go through each one of these 11 points how the Gemara defines it, that you're actually doing something that the Torah really did not demand of you. The Torah says don't charge interest. I'll give you one sample. The Torah says don't charge interest, but the Torah also says you are allowed to charge interest if you lend money to a non-Jew. Well, that's machlokes. Along comes David HaMelech and he says, you know, there's a bit of a problem here. If you lend money on interest to a non-Jew, it's mutter, lanachri sashich, poskin mishpotim, you are allowed to. Is it? Well, not lanachri sashich.
Yes, it is.
What, that word?
Yes.
Oh, thank you. You're an expert on kisei. So thank you. I should know it and thought it's Yaakov Haim, but I don't. That's all right. Lanachri sashich. All right. Thank you. Lanachri chalo sashich. That's the poskin. Yep. Thank you. Okay, so it's not in mishpotim, it's only in kisei. Thank you. Lanachri sashich. Lanachri chalo sashich. I believe it's machlekes whether it means you must or whether it simply means you may. But for sure, as a minimum, you may charge interest. Along comes Tavos HaMelech and says, yes, you may. You're not over any assumed derisa if you do, but you might see a very high profit, and that might tempt you, and it can become habit forming. And before you know it, before you turn around, you're starting to lend money to Jews on interest. So along comes Dovid, and he says, you know, the real tzaddik won't charge interest even if he's lending money to a non-Jew. That's right. Yeah. So that's just a sample how all these cases are not the strict letter of the law, but they're lifnim mishras, so they're all above and beyond the letter of the law. The one of the mefarshim on the Ein Yaakov, on that Gemara, and I can't remember what it was called now. I relied on my memory and I've forgotten it now. No, it's okay. One of the portions, it's on the left-hand page and it's the left-hand margin. It quotes a Yerushalmian payoff, which says that we have an interesting contrast in history, that in the times of Achav was an evil monster. He and Izebel had rampant idol worship in Eretz Yisrael during their reign, and people were awful, and the Avodah Zarah all over the show. And yet, when Achav and his armies went to war, they were successful. Contrast that with the times of David. The times of David HaMelech, when he went to war, they were all tzaddikim at times of David. The people were generally tzaddikim, great people. The Beis Mikdash had not yet been built, but it was in the planning, and they were great tzaddikim. And along come, and when David fought wars, there were casualties, and David fought many wars, and yet there were casualties. How can that be? What a contrast. So the Yerushalmi says, you know why? Because at the times of Achav, however much Avodah Zarah they served, their Bein Adam L'Chaveiro was excellent. And they didn't speak Lashon Hara about each other. And while in the times of David HaMelech, however wonderful their Bein Adam L'Mokom was, their Bein Adam L'Chaveiro was quite wanting. And there was Lashon Hara being spoken about them. Largely due to two very influential Roshoyim, Achisofel and Doeg. Yeah, and we've spoken about them in the past. Yeah, who were very highly powerful men and evil men at that. And largely thanks to their evil influence, there was a lot of Lashon Hara about. Achisofel was the great grandfather, if I remember correctly, of Bathsheba. Have I got that right? I think so. Or maybe great great grandfather. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, so he resented it, that's it. So they lost wars, and they lost men in the times of David. Why? Because of Bein Adam L'Chaveiro. This chapter is largely devoted to Bein Adam L'Chaveiro. David was trying to combat that low madrigo by getting people to tighten up on them Bein Adam L'Chaveiro. Oh, that's the pasuk Sinkatinta. Yes, go. Where is it? Thank you very much. Thank you, Michael. So it's a chapter Kaf Gimel pasuk. Oh, there we are. There's a shich, the shich, the shich, the shich. Chapter Kafkim on Pasuk 21, Pashas Kisek, say, thank you, Michael, and happy birthday. That's on tape now, we'll all know. Yeah. Shkech, thanks for that. So it's not image popping. Shkech. Okay. Okay. Rabbi Shum Shemfal Hirsch points out that this chapter is devoted to Bein Adam L'Chaveiro. But look at the opening words. Mitzvah LeDavid, Hashem, mi yogur ba'alecha, who's going to live in your tent? Mi yishkem ha'kotshecha, who will live in your holy temple, in your holy mountain? Now, to us, that's like a big, huge madriga. We're talking about real closeness to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So we're talking about such a real closeness to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we would all expect, you know, how can you get really close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Well, learn Shas 50 billion times in your lifetime, you know, and go to mikveh 5 times a day, and be super careful about what you put in your mouth, and be super careful about all the other mitzvahs. And along comes Dov, he says, no, you want to become really close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Yogur Ba'alecha, Mi'ishkem HaKadoshecha, it's all down to Bein Adam L'Chaveiro. To become the super Jew, you need to have excellent Bein Adam L'Chaveiro. That's to attain real closeness to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's all down to these 11 points, which are largely, if not all of them, Bein Adam L'Chaveiro. That's the first page of the Hatzamach. The second page of the Hatzamach is a piece of Vilna Gaon. The Vilna Gaon, you'll find, I have a sefer at home which says the Vilna Gaon's Pirush on Tehillim. It's not really a Pirush on Tehillim. It's really been culled. Some big time of Chacham went through all the writings of the Vilna Gaon and picked out whatever he had on Tehillim. And put it into a sefer, which makes it really easy for me to learn. The source for this is actually a Vilna Gaon on the second pasuk of Shir HaShirim. Yishakini Minishikos Pihu. The description of the love that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has for Klal Yisrael is that of the love of a man for his wife and the wife for the man. Yishakini, he will kiss me, Minishikos Pihu, with the kisses of his mouth. Says the Vilna Gaon, look at that word pihu. It's a really strange word. It's spelt peyud heyvav. Says the Vilna Gaon, the word for mouth is peh. The word for his mouth is piv, peyud vav, but no hey. The word for her mouth is piha, like we say in Ishtar, piha fasrav chachma, piha peyud hey. This word is peyud hey, which is like the feminine word piha, and then vav as well, which is like the masculine word piv, his mouth. Since it's on the gone, this word pihu is actually a combination of piha, her mouth, and also piz, his mouth. It's a combination of both. Says to them gone, that's why Rashi on this pasuk says that Yishakini Mishikos Pihu means it's the husband kissing the wife and also the wife kissing the husband. It's both, because it's Pihu, it's not Piv, and it's not Piha, it's both, it's Pihu. It's both the man kissing the wife and the wife kissing the mouth. It says Rashi, it's Kachosam El Kala, Per El Per. It's kissing on the mouth. It's mouth. It's the kissing each other on the mouth. So that's its combination, and it's an expression of immense intimacy between husband and wife, such as the love that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has for us, like the intimacy between a husband and wife. Says the Vilna Gaon, the vav represents the man, masculine, piv, his mouth. You get a word like lo, lamed vav, to him. The lamed means to, it's a very short word, lamed vav. But it's actually, you can break that word down. The lamed means to, like el can also mean to, but the lamed by itself means to, like le eretz mitzrayim, to the land of Egypt, right? Or le mitzrayim, to Egypt. So the lamed by itself means to. The vav by itself means him. Or so lo would be to him. Lo, lamed he, would be to her. The lamed means to, and the he means her. The vav is masculine, and the hay is feminine. Then the Vilna Gaon says, and I don't know where he gets this from, that a vav represents mitzvahs asei, and I don't know why, and a hay represents mitzvahs los asei, and I don't know why. Therefore, says the Vilna Gaon, the hay, which is feminine, like loch or osah, is all feminine, that represents mitzvahs los asei. That's why women are bound to keep all mitzvahs lo sase, because the hey represents mitzvahs lo sase. The vav represents mitzvahs sase, and is also masculine, which is why women don't keep all the mitzvahs sase. They only keep the mitzvahs sase shelo hazman grama, the mitzvahs sase which are not time bound. But that's almost besides the point. The fact is, says the Vilna Gaon, and I don't know where he gets this from, that a hey represents mitzvahs lo sase, and a vav represents mitzvahs sase. Now go through these 11 points in this chapter. Let's run through the list. Holech Tomim, going in perfection, that's a mitzvah, so let's keep a count. Alright, on this hand I'll count the mitzvah sase. Okay? And on this hand I'll count the mitzvah sase. Holech Tomim, mitzvah sase. Ofer El Tzedek, mitzvah sase. Zedeb Emes Bovavo, speaking truth, another mitzvah sase. So far, three mitzvah sase. Lo Roga La Lashono, don't speak Lashon Hara, that's mitzvah lo sase. Lo osalere ehu ra'o, don't do evil to another person, that's a mitzvah lo sase. V'chepa lo nosa al karevo, don't heap a shame on someone else, that's a mitzvah lo sase. So far the score is 3-3, 3 mitzvahs sase, 3 mitzvahs lo sase. Nivza be'inov nimos, that a person is despised, the tzaddik will also find that person, will also revile that bad person. So a tzaddik reviles an evil person, says the Gaon. That's the mitzvah saseh. Yirei Hashem Yechabed, honoring those who fear God, number five. That's another, that's our fifth mitzvah saseh. So far the score is 5-3 to the mitzvah saseh. Mishpah lo harav lo yomi, he takes a shavuah to harm himself in order to increase his madriga. That's a sixth mitzvah saseh. Kaspela nosam b'neshech, don't charge interest. That's a low saseh. V'shochad anoki and lelokach, and he didn't take a bribe. That's your fifth mitzvah saseh. Sorry, mitzvah low saseh. Says the Vilna Gaon. No, it's not, because he's undertaking a shavua. The shavua he's undertaking, and then he doesn't break that shavua. But it's the undertaking of the shavua which he takes in order to increase his madrega. You know, he'll say a tanis, or he'll give money to tzedakah, and he takes a shavua, he'll give money to tzedakah. That's a mitzvah saseh. He's doing a good deed.
Mm.
So we have six mitzvah saseh. Five mitzvahs lo saseh, total 11. 6 + 5 = 11. These are the 11 points in this chapter. The six mitzvahs saseh are represented by the vav, and the five mitzvahs lo saseh are represented by the hay. Yeah, represented by the hay. So that's how we get this. And he writes all that in Shi'ar Shirim on that word Yishakinim Yishakos Pihu. That Pihu is a combination of Piv and also Piha. Yeah? And when Shalom learns Shi'ar Shirim here, which I hope he will one day, he's bound to do this that section of that piece in the Vilna Gaon. Anyway, so there we are. So we have 11 points in the chapter, 6 of them are mitzvah saseh, 5 of them are mitzvah lo saseh, and that's 11 altogether. Yeah, 11 altogether. Good. I'm still on the Hakdama to the chapter, believe it or not. Okay. The Yalkum Yom Lois points us to the previous chapter, to chapter 14, in order to make a connection between chapter 14 and chapter 15 here. Chapter 14 begins, Lamasech LeDavid Omar Novel Belibo, the fool or the evil man says to himself, Ein Elokim, there's no God. So chapter 14 zeroes in on the definition of a novel, of a bad man. So therefore chapter 15 contrasts by giving us the definition of a tzaddik, of a good man. Likewise, says the Alchemy on Mary's, the chapter finishes off, it's a pasuk, where is Elokim? Here, Elokim with a tzaddik, chapter, pasuk 5 there, Chapter Yudalad Pasuk 5, Shom Pachad Ufachad Ki Elokim B'da Tzadik, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is in the generation of a tzadik. So chapter 14 introduces a tzadik, and now chapter 15 defines that tzadik by these 11 mitzvahs. And so now we need to know what a tzadik is. Likewise, says the Yalkut Memnos, the chapter also finishes off with Pasuk 7, that's chapter 14, Pasuk 7. Mi yitin mitzion Yeshua Yisrael. Halavai, says David, Halavai, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will send us to Yeshua for Yisrael. So it's all about Yeshua, it's all about salvation. So what will bring it, so that means we're hoping HaKadosh Baruch Hu will save us from Golos. David comes along, brings 11 mitzvahs which you can keep in Golos. Chapter 15 teaches us, okay, so you're in Golos, that's bad news. But the good news is, here are 11 mitzvahs which you can keep in Golos without feeling let down that you can't keep various mitzvahs for which you rely on. Exactly, 11 principles, and you can keep these in Golos. Yeah. So the last chapter speaks about Yeshua, Mi Yitein Mitzvah Yeshua Yisrael. B'shuv Hashem, Shuv Samay, when Hashem brings his people back. So now chapter 15 tells us how we can cause that to happen by keeping these 11 mitzvahs even in Golos. And what is also interesting is that we have, the Alchemy Memes also goes on to point out that these 11 mitzvahs, actually, how it comes to be these 11 mitzvahs summarize the Torah, and he gives a brief, he doesn't say it in full, and I can't possibly say it in full. But he says, for example, Holech Tomim, which is in Pasuk base, Holech Tomim, going in perfection. So he says that would cover all the mitzvahs which are covered by Tomim Tihye Im Hashem Elokecha, which is Pasuk in Parsha Shoftim. By the way, that Pasuk Tomim Tihye Im Hashem Elokecha is on the kever of Joe Goldstein. Tomim Tihye Im Hashem Elokecha, he put that pasuk on his kever because, interestingly enough, he was very excited about that pasuk. I spoke about that pasuk many times with him. Tomim Tihye Im Hashem Elokecha, and Pasha Shoftim happens to be one of his favorite sedras for laning. So Tomim Tihye Im Hashem Elokecha, that pasuk Tomim Tihye Im Hashem Elokecha is at the end of the parasha, which speaks about witchcraft and various nefarious deeds like witchcraft and communication with the dead and so on. So our pasuk Holech Tomim will cover all of those mitzvahs. The Alchemy Notes wants to show how the psukim in our chapter are representative of the whole Torah. Or Foel Tzedek, doing righteousness, he says that covers actually every mitzvah saseh. Every mitzvah saseh will come under the category of doing righteousness. Vedeva MS covers speaking truth in your heart, covers every mitzvah shebeleiv, including davening and so on and so forth. Lo rogal alashono, he says that covers every single isra to do with speech. Lashon hara, and lying, and cheating, and annoying people. Any isra that you can do with your mouth, in speaking, is all covered by the pasuk Lo rogal alashono. So, and lo asalari ehra'a, that you didn't do any evil to his chaver, well, that covers every single aspect of the nozim l'chaveru. So the Alchemy of Moses wants to point out that how our pasuk is representative of all the entire Torah. One last point to that, come on, then we can actually kick off with pasuk Aleph, and that is Rabbi Yitzchak. A medrash from the name of Rabbi Yitzchak. Rabbi Yitzchak says no, there are not 11 points in this chapter. The Gemara says there are. Rabbi Yitzchak says no, there are really 10. Why? Because the Lerogal al-Lashono, which is Pasuk Gimel, Lerogal al-Lashono, he didn't speak Lashon Hara, he says, well, that is synonymous with the second half of Pasuk Gimel, Lo Asalari Ehra'ah, he didn't do any evil to his Chava. If you don't do any evil to your Chava, then you also won't speak any Lashon Hara. So Rabbi Yitzchak says there are in fact 10 points in this chapter, and he equates these 10 to the Aseret HaDibros. And I don't know how. It's not just a number thing, you know, there are 10 points in our chapter, and then 10 mitzvahs, and then so it's a dibros, and 10 equals 10. No, it's not just that, but there is a certain correspondence between them, but I don't know what that correspondence is. Five assay and five los.
Right.
I know, I'm not sure if that's right. Hang on. Let me check that. Because those are both lowest half days. You'd be down to one lowest half day left. Yeah, thank you. Four lowest half days and six half days. It's not quite. Anyway, but there's a correspondence. I don't know what that correspondence is.
The correspondence of the Ten Commandments.
Exactly. That's how Rabbi Yitzchak and Medrash says that. Yeah. Okay, so we can actually have a go at Pasuk Aleph. Wow. Okay. Mitzvah leDavid, a song to David. Hashem mi yogur ba'alecha, Hashem, who will live in your tent? Mi yishkon, who will dwell b'har kodeshecha, on your holy mountain? So the first thing to note is this idea of Mitzvah leDavid. The Gemara says, and it's a Gemara in Pesachim Kuf Yudayin Amud Aleph, and I mentioned this earlier, I think it was on chapter Gimel in Tehillim, when we first came across the expression of Mizmer, that the Gemara says there's a difference between Mizmer LeDavid and LeDavid Mizmer. Mizmer means a song, and LeDavid means the Nevuah came to David. And the sequence of the words tells us what actually happened. Mizmer LeDavid means that David had a song, he was a composer, he put the whole of Tehillim into music. The Mizmer LeDavid means first he was inspired musically, and that musical inspiration brought on the Nevuah. We know that a person can only have a Nevuah if he's in a good mood. Yeah, the Gemara says that in the Nedarim, in I think it's the third parak. So the musical inspiration brought him into a state of Nevuah. And the other way round is Le David Mizmer means first he has a Nevuah, and the Nevuah triggers a musical inspiration. So it follows the sequence. Mizmer Le David and Le David Mizmer. Interesting? You ever had a Nevuah with all the in Habakkurim days? I was wondering what lay behind that Nigun Hashem.
I didn't write that one.
You didn't write that one. Okay.
Alright. But no
Nevuah. Not yet.
So the David
Mizmar
is
Nevuah came first. Le David means the Nevuah came to David, followed by Mizmar, followed by a musical inspiration.
Ah, see.
Yeah, it depends on the sequence. Which one came first? Okay. One interesting point here is this word, ba'olecha. Ba'olecha means your tent. It's in the singular. It's not a plural word, not your tent. That would be ba'olosecha or something like that. I'm not sure. But if it would be in a plural, there would certainly be a yud in the word. But there's no yud. It means in your tent. Now, of course, the big question is, what is the difference between yogur and yishkon? They're both expressions of living. Who will live or dwell in your tent, and who will live or dwell on your holy mountain? And here you have a machlokus between the Malbim and the Shimshon Fal Hirsch, and the machlokus is a head-on collision between the two. According to the Malbim, Yogur is a permanent residence. Who will live permanently in your tent, while Yishkon is a temporary residence, which fits beautifully. Well, Yogur is difficult because he loves Yogur. Is
it Avram?
Yogur Avram Bigarar, one of the three words of cooking in the Torah.
You say they're quite categorically
temporary. Temporary, absolutely. So that's difficult. On the other hand, Yishkon, well, the Mishkan was a temporary structure. So Yishkon, it sits quite comfortably for us to learn that Yishkon is a temporary thing.
Don't know.
As Rabbi Cooper once said to me, a similar question, I'll answer. He said, if Rabbi Shimon Fal Hirsch was walking through the door now, he'd give you an answer on the spot. That was the Malbim. Yogur is permanent, Yishkon is temporary. Rabbi Shimon Fal Hirsch learns absolutely forget. He says Yogur is temporary, and he quotes the pasuk Logur Ba'aretz Bonu, which we quote in the Haggadah, where the brothers said to Pharaoh, "We're going to come here with temporary residence," as every Olech Hadash will tell you. So we're temporary residents here. Yeah, Logur Ba'aretz Bonu, we're going to come here temporarily. Whereas Yishkon, he says, is a permanent one. That's to stay forever. Okay, now, what is the definition? What is this idea of Ohel and the idea of Har Kodesh? What are these? What is this tent? And what is this holy mountain?
So that, in the morning.
Yes. Yeah.
Mishkan
Osecha Yisrael. Yeah, but there's a mention of Har.
On the history.
Yeah. The mention of Har there. Yeah. And Bilam meant it about the tents as he looked down from the hill when he saw the tents of Klal Yisrael. Yeah. Yeah, it's almost the same, isn't it? Yeah. Okay, the Targum on the Har Kodesh, who would me is going to Har Kodesh, the Targum adds in a little bit. Mam Chamei Lemishrei, who will live, or who will dwell, Batur Beis Makdosh, Mak Deshoch, on the mountain of your base Hamikdash. He adds in that word base. Base Makdashah. So in case you're wondering, what is this holy mountain? It's the Temple Mount, right? So it's Har Emoriah. And he adds that in Batur Beis Makdashah. The Ibn Ezra learns very similarly. He says, Ba'akotchecha, says the Ibn Ezra quite clearly, it's Har Emoriah, which is, of course, where the base Hamikdash stood and will stand. And he also says, it could refer to Har Tzion. Now, Har Tzion is a different mountain from Har HaMoriah. What is Har Tzion? Says the Ibn Ezra, Har Tzion is the mountain or the hill where the Oron was residing in the times of David HaMelech. Now, prior to the time of David HaMelech, they had the Mishkan, and the Oron stayed in the Mishkan, wherever the Mishkan was situated. In Gilgal, in Shiloh, and other places. So in the times prior to David, that's where the Aron was. In the times after David, times of Shlomo, Melech had the Beis Hamikdash, and the Aron was in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, in the Beis Hamikdash. But where was it during the times of David? Says the Ibn Ezra, it was in a place called Har Etzion, where it was looked after in a special place. And he says if I understood the Ibn Ezra correctly, and I'm not sure that I did, he says it was a different place from Har Hamiriah. I'm not sure about that. Could be that he says it was, in fact, now I'm going to go back on that. He says it was Har Hamiriah, but in those days it was known as Har Tzion. Yeah. So that's his Har Kodesh Echol that David is referring to. Mitzvah David learns that Mi Yogur, he says, as we've said all along, it's David asking HaKadosh Baruch Hu a question. And he starts in the vocative, Hashem, God, he's speaking to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who is going to live, who will deserve to live in your Ohel, who will deserve to live in your holy mountain? And along comes the answer. Who a person who can keep all these, who's got all these wonderful mitzvahs, 11 of these 11 mitzvahs.
What's the word Hashem?
Yeah.
Apart from meaning the eternal, it's always Hashem Melech, it's also a matter, it's also its aspect of mercy as well, Rachman.
No, it's Rachman, yeah. And therefore?
Just making that means that
point. Yeah, well, I'm not sure how we can connect it. Maybe the HaKadosh Baruch Hu will respond very warmly, mercifully, to the person who needs
it. Has the word Elohim,
Yeah. It does fit because the whole chapter is dealing with a tzaddik who's going to be at one with Midas Rachamim and HaKadosh Baruch Hu.
Hashem will have chesed to you.
Yeah, exactly. The Mesillas David points out that he quotes the pasuk at the beginning of Yeshaya, where the pasuk says it's in Yeshaya chapter Aleph, pasuk Yedbeis, which we learn, of course, in Shabbos Chazon, where Yeshaya Hanovi says Yeshaya decries the people who go into the Beis Hamikdash who are not deserving to be in the Beis Hamikdash. You have no right to be in the Beis Hamikdash unless your madriga is befitting. And the prophet reads, Ki sabo'u le'ra usponoi, you came to be seen by me in the Beit HaMikdash. Mi vikesh zos mi'edchem, who asked this of you? Who requested this of your hand, that you come to the Beit HaMikdash? Ramos chatzei roi, you people who are trampling down my courtyards. So this is the very opposite of what you'd expect. What a wonderful thing to go to the Beis HaMikdash. Says Yeshaya, if you are not on the right madriga to go into the Beis HaMikdash, don't dare set foot in the place. You've got no right to go in. Says Yeshaya, you know, you're trampling my courtyard because you have no right to be there. So says the Mitzvah David, that pasuk in Yeshaya tells us you've got to be on the right madriga to go into the Beis HaMikdash. Our whole chapter is devoted to that. Who will dwell in your Ohel? Who will go into your Har Kodesh Echol? You've got to be on the right madriga to go in. And I have to tell you this wonderful thought that I heard when I was in Yeshiva from Rabbi Matisyahu Salomon. His wife should have her full name, she's not well at the moment. And he said this in the name of the Yer Sameach. And I remember when he said it in the Drasha, he said that this piece of Yer Sameach is not written down anywhere. It's in the Meshech Chochmo, the Yer Sameach, Rav Meir Simcha HaKohen, who lived in Dvinsk. It's not written in any of his Svarim, but it's something which people have said in his name. And it's a real eye-opener. He says, let's think, how much time would Kohanim spend in the Beis HaMikdash? And if you'd asked me, I would have said, ooh, I don't know, months into the end, 8 months from the year, 9 months from the year. He says, no, they've spent a very little amount of time.
The Mishmaris.
So they got the Mishmaris. The Mishmaris. Yeah.
Were there one week each year except for the Regalim?
A bit more, but not much more. There were 24 Mishmaris, and each Mishmar did 1 week's duty at a time. So that totals out to 48. So it's approximately each Mishmar will get 2 weeks in the year. Of Kohanim, yeah. Each family groups of Kohanim, right? There are 24 of them, yeah. Which, and each one gets 1 week at a time, yeah. And there are 24 groups altogether, which means in a week, in a year of approximately 52 weeks,
2.5 weeks,
you've got, well, not even a half. Not even a half. It's just a tiny bit over 2 weeks in the year, yeah. Right? Now, when you're on, when your Mishmar is on duty...
They're also there on
Shalosh Regalim. Oh, so what comes out? So when your Mishmar is on duty, you should know that the Mishmaris were divided into six groups. Each took one day of the week, from Sunday through to Friday, and on Shabbos, the entire Mishmar was on duty. Okay? That means that you had, that within your Mishmar, you were doing 2 days in the week for 2 weeks in the year. That gives you a total of 4 days. Plus, as you say, Michael, they had the whole of each Yom Tov. Exactly. There were more Indians than jobs, right? So that's how they had to have the payosos. They did these lotteries to see who would do the avodah. So far you've got a chance of doing an avodah 4 days in the year, approximately, plus 7 days of Sukkot, that gives you 11, plus 1 day Shmini Atzeres, gives you 12, plus 7 days of Pesach, that gives you 19.
Well,
yes, throughout Yom Tov time,
because people
Kognos Hagiga, Olaf Shriyah, and the Shalmi Toda and the Shalmi Hagiga, Yom Tov time, Cholomed busy time, right? So we're up to 19, plus 1 day Shavuos gives you 20, plus Erev Pesach, the Korban Pesach, gives you 21. So you're on duty 21 days in the year, yeah? It's amazing, and you might do nothing during those 21 days. Yeah, you might not get a chance of doing anything. And I think he pointed out, or maybe I discussed with someone, he says, yeah, 21 days in the year work. Most people in a regular job, you might get around 21 days holiday a year. Yeah? So you're on duty in the basement, just 21 days a year. So what do they do the rest of the time? So the Yerush Tameach pointed out, to be on the Madriga, to set foot in the Beit HaMikdash for 21 days in the year, you have to spend the rest of the year learning. Yeah? So that fits beautifully with our chapter. To be on the right Madriga, you've got to spend, 49 weeks in the year learning, and 3 weeks in the year you'll be allowed in the Beit HaMikdash. That's kind of an eye-opener, that's kind of how the Kohanim would spend their time. Yeah? The Radak points out, he learns differently. He learns miogur ba'olecha. What is this ohel? He says it's the shamayim. It's the heaven. It's a reference to the heavens. And he quotes a pasuk in Yeshaya. It's chapter mem and it's pasuk kaf beis, where the pasuk says, "Hanuta chaduk shamayim. Hakadosh Baruch Hu stretches out the heavens like a curtain." And he pulls them out, he stretches them out, like an ohel, like a tent. Why? Because we're under the sky. Like a person is underneath the tent, so we are like under the sky. So we can see that the Shamayim, the heavens, are compared to an ohel. Says the Radak, that this pasuk, mi agur ba'alecha, who will dwell in your ohel, means who will dwell in shamayim, and it's a reference to the neshama, which neshamas will be zoche to live, to reside in shamayim. And the answer is, someone who's got these 11 terrific midas, that's what's required. And then he says, v'hakotshecho, mi ishkem hakotshecho, that's a reference to Ayah Maria, to the Beit HaMikdash. But he says the ohel is a reference to the neshama living in Gan Eden. That's how he learns it. Good. The Malbim, we're not going to finish Pascal's day. Hakoshecho
could be down here on earth, talking about.
Yes, it is. Yeah. According to the Radak, yes, it is. It's the Temple Mount. It's Har HaMoriah. Yeah. Yes. To set foot on the Har HaMoriah. Yeah, that's right. Ohel is, according to the Radak, Ohel is the Neshama in Shamayim, while Hakoshecho is the. Is
down here,
on planet Earth, on Har HaMoriah. Yeah. Okay.
Heavenly Mount Moriah. You've got the Moriah, Mount Moriah.
Yeah.
And then you've got the heavenly.
Like Yerushalayim Shalmalo.
Yeah, yes.
He doesn't say that. He says it's literally Har HaMoriah as we know it, where the Beit HaMikdash stood and will stand.
Okay.
But it's in the same context of a lower and there's a higher always.
Yeah, I guess so, cause it, for sure, because we know we've got the Yerushalayim Shemala and a parallel world. Yeah. Okay, should we close there? There's quite a lot more still to do on Pasuk Aleph. It's just almost 10 o'clock. Okay, should we close there? We carry on next week in the session, yeah?
Yes,
good. Good. Good to see you.